Welcome to Sidekick Strategies Expert Interviews, your premium podcast for mastering inbound strategies. Whether you're a marketer, sales professional, service expert, operations ninja, or business owner using HubSpot, this is the place for you. Every week, we bring you a new expert to share the essential tips, tricks, mindsets, and best practices your business needs to reach its full potential. Ready to transform your approach with cutting-edge insights? Let's dive into the world of inbound strategies with this week's expert. Welcome back to another Sidekick Strategies event. Yes, today we are having an enlightening, dare I say exciting, I know it'll be a valuable conversation with the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Killens. He is a visionary in content marketing, community building, and go-to market strategies. If you've been paying attention, you already know this, but Mark is the CEO and co-founder of TAC and Club PF, where he helps business leaders with their go-to market strategy. Mark has consistently demonstrated his commitment to putting people at the center of the marketing strategies. I am a true testament to that. His pioneering work has educated and certified millions and played a pivotal role in scaling companies like HubSpot, Drift, and AirMeet. I don't know, maybe you've heard of those companies. Today, Mark continues to reshape how businesses engage with their audiences through his people-first GTM model, a testament to his belief in the power of relationships and community to drive engagement and grow revenue. Whoo, man, as the CEO and co-founder of TAC, a media and GTM firm, Mark's current endeavors further his mission to transform B2B growth strategies by emphasizing human connections over transactions. Buckle up, Hub Heroes, this Sidekick Strategy Journey, as we're going to dig deep into Mark's brain, his insights on disrupting market, marketing, the essential to community growth, leading you in that way, the principles, the underpinning success that you'll want. And again, people first, put that in your brain, people first approach to today's digital age. Mark, how the heck are you doing today?
Dude, I'm great. I love talking to you, George. We go way back. That's quite the intro.
I worked hard on that for you, brother. I worked hard on it.
No, I love, I mean, the thing that is most important about everything you said is about how do we rethink the ways in which we bring products to market and create value for other people, our customers at the end of the day, through different approaches. And, you know, early days at HubSpot, I joined in 2010, and you got involved a little bit after that. You know, we were always talking about, hey, you got to, you know, kind of match the way people buy those days. And back then, a lot of people were buying through, you know, the research they were doing on search. Social was coming out. I mean, Facebook, you know, was out. I think they went public in 2012. Twitter, now X, was gaining steam. Instagram was kind of coming out. Now, though, 10 plus years later, the shift has happened, George, right? Like, it's gone from search to social. And what is social? It's people first. So, you know, that's just a little teaser of what some of the stuff we'll talk about today.
I love that you gave a little teaser, and I love that we're going to dig in. And you know me, Mark, I want to start kind of at the beginning here and just ask you if you can maybe explain the core principles of this people first GTM model that you guys are rocking out and kind of its significance in today's marketing landscape.
We do have a definition for it. And it's specifically called People First GTM, which stands for go-to market. So this isn't like a marketing strategy. It's marketing, it's sales, it's customer success, it's everything. It's even product to some degree. It's like how you would bring your company, but then the problems your company helps others solve through the products or services it's created and it delivers in a way that matches the way people buy things today. And the way that people, you want to have a relationship, you could say, with a brand. That's the foundation. So there's three underarching things, George, that make up the definition. We call it a business strategy that uses storytelling, relationships, you talked about that in the intro, and partnerships to create, capture, and convert this demand that's in the market into revenue in a more efficient way. So before we get more deeper into that, I'll pause there. There's a lot to maybe unpack, but the storytelling, the relationships, and the partnerships are the key pieces.
Yeah, it's so interesting because when I hear you talking about this, and I'm sure along the way we'll drive into those like three pieces and probably in and out of them through the different questions we'll ask. But what's funny is I think about this people word, I think about this problem solvers word, and a third one bounced into my brain is like, yep, and that's how you become profitable. Like it's people and then like problem solving and then profit. Like that's how that works. So how does this people first GTM model differentiate from, because you said it's not marketing, right? But how does it differentiate from a traditional go-to-market strategy, particularly, Mark, regarding like customer engagement, relationship building? Like if we're driving down into one of the three that is relationships, how does that impact or how should people think of the differences?
Great question. So let's start by unpacking some of the things that have changed that are just affecting people. I always like to go there first. So you're a business owner. Have you noticed some changes in the last 3-5 years when it comes to how effective just email marketing is overall? Like it doesn't matter if it's opt-in, cold, like email marketing.
I mean, we can say yes to email, but I'd say yes to almost everything changing, Mark.
Well, so give me some examples. Like what are some of the big things you've seen change in terms of your go-to-market? Like either in a positive or maybe not so positive way.
Here's the funny thing is it positive and negative, and maybe sometimes they're both. But like there was always this historical playbook that you could go with, and there was a day and age when lead conversion and automated emails and just, you know, attacking keywords worked. And I'm not saying it doesn't still work, it just works differently. And you have to have tweaked it along the way. But yeah, email, like that's a big one where if you're not coming, in my words, human first, in your words, people first, man, it's just, yep. It's not a good look.
Yeah, I mean, so one tactical example there is a company sends a lot of email. But should the company be sending email or should it come really from a human, a person? And the email isn't about getting you to click and then convert. The value, many of the times, would lie within the email itself. So you open that email up, you're like, man, I read, you know, 30 seconds of that email, I'm already getting some value without having to go down this conversion path all the time or be tracked, right? That's a high-level example of something that every company does. We send email. But the way in which you position your emails, tell stories in your email, design the email experience, all of it can be changed to be less company-centric and more people-centric.
Mm, I love that. And there's so many ways that you could actually just change a lot of what you're doing into that. I know we're talking about email, but so much of that could change. So here's the thing. You're helping organizations with this people-first GTM. You're out there. You're like, you know, singing the praises from the mountaintops. I'm super curious. I like to talk about hurdles, potholes, things like that along the way. Mark, what are the primary challenges marketers face when trying to implement a people-first GTM strategy, and how can they actually overcome them?
There's two things to kind of unpack there. One is like the philosophical belief system of how you go to market. You know this from your time with HubSpot and all these other things, or how you operate is going to be decided in many ways at like a subconscious level to some degree. It's like what you believe, right? And what you think is true. So do you feel like, hey, the way in which we go to market today is too much about us and not about them, the customers, the community? If you believe that, then making this change and transition will not be as hard. Do you also believe that like our long-term success can be greatly improved by making this change? Like do you believe that this can impact the bottom line? So just the belief is important. And you could say, well, you have to, you know, sell someone on this. And that's partially why we're having this conversation. Yeah, you need to be sold that this approach, you know, inbound marketing back then, like you have to change. But outside of that, like it goes back to like we were talking about a few minutes ago when it comes to like people, problems, and profit. So let's focus on the problems. We talked at a very quick high level about some of the problems buyers are facing. Buyers are getting inundated. We're in this like attention economy now. Buyers, you know, have a hard time seeing through all the messaging. I mean, you know, and how much just is coming at you on a daily basis. It's pretty hard. So imagine like you're a company trying to use that tactic of like just coming at buyers instead of going with them to a specific place. So the key is like, are you marketing at people or with people? That's one key thing to think about. Getting again back to philosophy. But the problems that business face, you know, we've kind of outlined 10 to 12, and one of them is related to buyers. That one around attention being extremely like hard to get and scarce. But there's a ton of other problems that People First Go to Market can help solve. Misalignment, you know, around teams, how they communicate, how they set goals. The win rates for B2B companies have been kind of decreasing a little bit. Attribution is hard. Channels are saturated. Sometimes you're not, you know, creating enough consistent pipeline. Your cost of acquiring customers is going up. So all of these problems, and a business is always going to face some types of problems. The idea of People First Go to Market is, how do you address some of these problems head on by creating a strategy that involves more of a network-based approach and more about creating sustainable things? And some of this is rooted in stuff like inbound marketing. Content is a core part of the model. Like, you need great content that helps people learn, that gets people excited, that gets people motivated. Absolutely, you know this better than probably anyone, George. But the idea of saying, look, we're just going to do this for a few months and it's going to make big change, I don't know. You're going to have to use this kind of approach and this philosophy for a longer time, 1, 2, 3+ years, to see fundamental change.
I love this because you said marketing with them, which my brain immediately went to journey. Your last statement, my brain went to patience. I love the fact that you brought in inbound marketing and content, because I want to circle back around on one of the big three that we talked about. We've talked about relationships, but Mark, I want to circle back around to storytelling. And so the question I'm going to ask is just, how important is storytelling in the People First GTM model? And not only why is it or how is it important, but Mark, if we can dive into some effective ways to develop and communicate a compelling brand story along the way.
It doesn't matter if it's People First Go to Market, any kind of go to market, storytelling is paramount. It's like, I mean, storytelling is what gets people to pay attention and change and act, right? I mean, storytelling is like how we learn things, remember things, feel things. If your business doesn't tell stories at all the levels in which, you know, it kind of goes to market at, you know, at the very, the brand level, what's the brand story down to, like, what's the story of the customer using this feature? Like, I'll be blunt, George, like, you're either missing a huge opportunity or doing it wrong. So how do you tell a story? It starts with the who. Like, who are you trying to, tell the story to, but how do they see themselves fitting into that story? And you've had like we all have had personal situations that we can like look back at and say like, yeah, you know what? From a company brand standpoint, like, now that you mentioned that, like, I can see myself fitting into that story. Like, you know, everyone knows the Nike example. You know, not everyone loves Nike, but if you resonate with that storytelling Nike does, I can see myself being this like really great athlete. I'm gonna do things that I can to, you know, represent what Nike is trying to help me be better at and, like, you know, connect with and what their brand ethos and brand story means for me at my personal level, right? Like, it's about that, like, storytelling to create connection, and it's the who. So I can go as deep as you want, but like, who are you trying to tell the story to and how do they see themselves in that story? And that does relate back to problems, making sure, like, you know the problems you're helping people solve and how you solve those uniquely differently, which is important. Like, if you don't solve something, if you don't do something differently, then your business will probably struggle long term unless you have a really competitive advantage on like the acquisition side of customers. And if you don't, then it's about like, how do you tell the brand story differently, which is a competitive advantage to how you acquire customers maybe and retain them, because the difference is how the brand is represented. Because think about Nike again, heavy commodity of what they do. So then how do they succeed? It's the brand, it's the belief, it's the feeling.
Yeah, I love this idea of like, starting with the who. It's a little bit of the hero's journey, but definitely this big level of belief. It's funny because we've also teased in this word, and I want to go into this because, again, we've said the word, but it also ties into, Mark, this idea of marketing with them. And when it's a with, it's a community, right? And so can you elaborate on the role of community-led growth within this people-first GTM model, this strategy that we're talking about, and maybe even share some examples of, like, successful implementation of community-led growth?
Yeah, so community-led growth is one of the three channels we've outlined in the model. There's community-led growth, then it becomes member-led growth, and then customer-led growth. And the model, if you go to like, you know, tacgtm.com, you can see it, or join Club PF, there's seven different growth motions. So George, like, you've heard a lot about these different growth motions, product-led growth, content-led growth, which I think is just an evolution of inbound marketing, by the way. Partner-led growth is part of it. There's these seven different motions. So you pick that community-led growth, which is super important because that is the tip of the spear when it comes to reaching and engaging an audience. And it is not about you owning a community. That is the biggest misconception when it comes to community-led growth. Community-led growth is about how do you create and enable conversations to happen that are related to your brand. This is a good example. So I love this local fishmonger, super local business, right? Obviously, physical business. Find an example like this too. I want you to tell one. It could be local or like, you know, national. And the business's name is Fish, just Fish. So it's pretty simple, nice name. He's super active in two places. One is Instagram. Great Instagram account. Like the conversations and the engagement on Instagram and how then he also chimes in on other Instagram posts of his customers, of his non-customers, of his distributors, like suppliers, of the fish that he brings in. Amazing. He's also extremely active in the local community. The biggest flagship thing he does every year is he does something called the Oyster Fest. So he does an annual big event that he hosts right outside his place, and he brings together dozens of local businesses. So, okay, that's community. It's also partner-led, by the way. We're getting into a little bit of this partner-led motion of people first. But my point to this example is he doesn't build a community. He's enabling and participating in all these spaces, both digital and in-person, right? That I like to call kind of like rented spaces. Like he doesn't own Instagram. He rents a space. He rents time, attention on Instagram. But he's really good at curating the conversation, creating the engagement, being part of the community, I'm putting, you know, in quotes, that is Instagram. So I think that is where people get community-led growth wrong. It's not so much about building a community. That comes later. It's about being part of the community that is already out there. Your customers are already out there. Just start participating and adding value in a unique way.
Super interesting. Okay, so you mentioned the word partner. I want to dig into that because, again, we're kind of going down what feels like this, you know, three main things that we need to pay attention to. We're diving into storytelling, community, relationships. So part of that community is going to be partners. Part of that relationship is going to be partners. So, Mark, how does partner-led growth work in this people-first GTM model, and what makes it critical for actually achieving like scalable growth in the future as we move forward?
Partner-led growth surrounds the entire model. So you have partner-led growth, and then within the model, you have these three channels. You're trying to, you know, use the community channel to create this demand. You're trying to use the more member-centric approach and channel to capture demand and turn that into revenue. And then you're trying to use your customers and partner with them as a channel to convert the demand that you've created and captured into more demand, right? It's similar to inbound to some degree, right? It's this flywheel model. And then you have like the idea of like the things that you use to build trusts and tell the stories. You can use those things to tell stories with as well, because those are the places you put stories kind of into or with, but you have content, you have events, you have products. So partner-led growth is how do you think about partnerships and relationships. It doesn't have to be a formal partnership, but like relationships and partnerships to help you in each of those six things: the community side, the more member side, the more customer side. And then as you build content, events, and products and free products, how do you partner with people? I gave you the example of Fish. You know, Fish partners with people all the time. There are so many examples, even within, point out your business. You're partnering with me right now to create content that is going to help you with community-led growth. I guarantee that's your strategy. You're using right now. You are using three of the models, three of the kind of the motions within this broader model and philosophy of people first go to market. Right now, partnering with another, you know, person, creator, brands, whatever, to create some content. You're going to use a content-led growth strategy because you're going to chop this content up and use it as much as you can to get it into the community, get into the conversations, and you might even use this with some of your, you know, more premium resources or membership experience if you have one, right? As a value additive. So there's the example.
I love it, and you got me. Dang on it, you got me. But with that, let's dive even a layer deeper into that, because the next question I should ask are, what are the key components of effective content-led growth? Right now, we already talked about this, right? You're like slice and dice, and not that we talked about it. We teased into it. So what are the key components of an effective content-led growth strategy under the People First GTM model?
Everything in this approach and this philosophy is people first, so it's who. Great content, George, you know this, right? It's the who. If you don't understand the who, and that could be, you know, in the past, and I, you know, we taught this at HubSpot a lot, your buyer personas. Personas are important, you know, the fit and whatnot, but like really you need to get more of the emotive side of the who these days. You know, everyone is different, but everyone isn't different. If that makes any sense. Because, you know, we all, if you like share an experience together with like 200 people in a movie theater, when a scene comes up, most of us are going to, you know, the majority are going to cry or laugh at that scene, right? So like, we're all the same then. So yeah, I'm getting a little deep here, but it's important because the best, not just marketing, but go-to-market today brings out the emotion in people. So that's why I'm trying to use as many examples, and I love how you're pressing me for like examples. Like, and what's an example? It's usually in many ways like a kind of a story. It doesn't have to be like an official story with like, well, you know, there is the character and there's the plot and there's the first scene, you know, whatever. Like, there's like formal story design, if you will, right? But like, just like community's a loaded word, stories are loaded words. So like, my point in all of this is pull on what makes people, feel something when it comes to content-led growth. So the days of like old content of like, all right, we're going to write an article for ranking in SEO. Sure, like that might work. Like it's going to work. You still need to do it. It's not as effective as it used to be. You can't just do that anymore. You have to do it differently. You still have, those blog articles have to be even better. That's why AI for blog or content is not going to work long-term. It just won't work. It's going to help you ideate. It's going to help you like edit and refine it, but it's not going to help. It's not going to do it for you. I don't see that ever happening until I get an AI chip or brain implanted into my body. Even then, I don't know. But like, my point is like, you have to really go back to understanding your customers. And that's why if you look at the graphic of what we're talking about, this people first GTM model graphic, there's people at the center. We talked a lot about this at HubSpot my days, Drift, Airbnb, like how do you make the customer at the center and how do you partner with these people to create better content? And that's the other thing I'll say when it comes to content-led growth. You partner with subject matter experts. You partner with people inside your company if it's a, you know, decently large company, or you do this at your company. I do it with my company. It's only two people full time. Nick and I partner on stuff. Like, you partner with other people and brands, or just as part of the relationship you have with them, say, hey, let's do this podcast together. Or, hey, let's create this webinar. Hey, why don't we do this mini event together? We just did this at B2B MX in Arizona. We did a dinner with someone at Zoom Info, someone at onescreen.ai, and we had 30 people come to this amazing dinner experience. You know, it's a little bit more event-led, but like, you know, like it's an example of just partnering through a relationship you have. Relationships, right? So I can get more tactical, George, and like say like, well, content-led growth is about like being able to measure content and like how do you do that? If you want to go that deep, like let us know. But I think the most important piece is what we already just said.
Man, my mind is going 100 miles an hour. So, again, you mentioned relationship. We were diving into content. You said these words. I used the word webinar, and you used the word event. And I know there was a time that we did an interview when I was interviewing you for Marketing Smarts podcast, where we were talking about event-led growth. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't dive into this, Mark, and that is, how do events, I think I know, but I want the viewers to know, right? How do events fit into this people-first GTM model, and how can marketers leverage events to foster this deeper relationships, to move emotions, to like gain more engagement? Like, talk to me about this events piece.
Yeah. So one last thing on content-led growth, that's all about like building trust and creating value, either like value in the form of humor and joy, or like more tangible value. Like I just learned something that I can go apply. Same with events. Like that's what, you know, and same with products, by the way, free products. Website Grader, HubSpot's Website Grader, right? Classic free product. That's creating value. Those three things are what we call like the offers. Like here are different things you can offer to your audience as a way to create trust and build value. And content-led growth, by the way, just like event-led growth and product-led growth, the reason they're growth models and these growth strategies is the best people use content not just to say, I'm going to gate this with a form. Now, and this is still super early in my opinion, so much has to catch up both on how we implement it as marketers, go-to-market people, but also the software. You use content and events and the free products or free product experiences you have, tools, as signals of intent. So it's not so much about like saying, hey, fill out all these forms to sign up for my events or my content or my free products, but I'm going to use the engagement signals through the consumption of what you're clicking on, watching, reading, as a way to tell me as a business how interested you might be in buying something at this moment or down the road. That, so like using that data as the foundation of the model of understanding where they are, top of funnel, middle funnel, bottom of the funnel, their customer, whatever. That's the point around these like content-led, et cetera, motions. Event-led, I mean, George, like you've been to, you know, how many events? Like hundreds?
Quite a few. I mean, I've got...
What's one of your most favorite events?
There. No, go ahead. All the name tags back there. I've been to a few events. I'm just saying.
So in the last 6 months, what's been like one of your favorite events? It could be business related or non-business related.
Oh, wow. Well, see, now that's interesting because when you asked me the question, I immediately went business. But like if I think about like non-business, I mean, I've been to concerts. That's an event, right? Shoot, I've been to like worship services. That's an event. I mean, let's be honest. So favorite though. Oh my gosh. I mean, I want to go inbound because inbound is always my favorite thing. But I will say that in Boston, B2B Forum was actually an amazing event. They did a great job. And here's the thing I want to tie back to what's funny because you're unlocking this in my brain. It wasn't so much about the event. The event was good. The information was good. But the people that I was hanging around with, the conversations that I was having, like it just left a lasting impression.
That is what a good event is, at least in person. In person, I still think there's a lot of problems when it comes to in-person events. I still see a lot of companies and businesses making this mistake, George. They're throwing too much content at people. And at some really large scale events, it's okay. Inbound maybe is the exception. 20,000 people, 15,000 people, whatever it is. It's a little bit different. Most in-person events though, this might be controversial, but I'm going to say it because I believe it, should be single track and should have less content, much better content, but less content, and should be to exactly what you just said, connection. An online event, it's much more about the content. And it's still about like creating conversations and building that community, if you will, in a sense. But it's, you know, it's hard to connect. It's no one's figured that out yet. It's you know, it's like, so it's like, no, like focus on the content side of that event versus the connection. So yeah, and then like the crazy thing with events is, you know, and I we have a few event technology companies as customers of Tax. There's so much potential to use all of that engagement data, all of those introductions you've had, you know, both for you as a person, as an attendee, by the way, but as a business or the entity hosting the event, there's just a huge opportunity to be so much smarter with that stuff. And so like the innovation around events, I think is really exciting to see what's going to come because, and actually just so you know, and for your listeners to know, we being Swoogo, Swoogo, S-W-O-O-G-O, and TAC, they're a customer of TAC. Swoogo is an awesome event management company. They have an event management software, event marketing software. Awesome team, awesome company. We just released the event maturity model. So how do you use events to strategically grow your business and get events integrated into the fabric of your go-to-market? That's the point of that maturity model. Check it out. Just Google it. You'll find it, guaranteed. But I bring that up because like most events are thinking like, yeah, brand and leads, which is important. But like, no, how do you make events a part of your go-to-market motion, aka your question, event-led growth? And you do that through, number one, relationships and partnerships. Like, George, have you ever seen an event where like some way has like partnerships, relationships as part of it?
I probably have been to one or a few, but I usually don't go back, which is fun, or reattend, even if it's a virtual situation like that.
Right? Like, yeah, so anyway, there's a lot to maybe unpack there. But yeah, so events are, like, I think people just say, yeah, we do events. But like, no, like, how do you think about them in a more strategic way as part of your go-to market for both, like, both customer purposes, community building, sales, pipeline building, product insights? And think about inbound, how the product team at HubSpot uses inbound as a way to connect with customers.
Okay, so now I want to see, you mentioned the word product, and I'm glad you did, because like at the end of the day, there could be people viewing this and they're like, okay, fancy pants, storytelling, emotion, content, events, great, we get it. But like, when do we get to talk about our products? Or, you know, your product could be a service. So I do want to dive in back into this people first GTM model, and that being the context of this next question, not just asking product led growth, but product led growth in the GTM model, or people first GTM model. How can it be integrated or enhance customer experience and conversions when you're thinking of it as this people first GTM model and product led growth in unison kind of mindset?
Like, what's your bottom of the funnel type offer on your website right now? Do you have one?
Oh yeah, I have multiple. One would be like a major training that people can do, like 12 weeks HubSpot intensive super admin bootcamp style training. And then I also have like implementation or training retainers that people can purchase on the website as well.
I love that. Do you have a something like right above that where it's like, I'll do like a free 30-minute or 60-minute audit with you, or a free consultation?
Oh yeah, we absolutely have a book 30-minute like Q&A thing that people can do with us, just so we can get on the, this is an old school term, but so we can get on the horn with them and kind of build a relationship and see where their brain's at and see where they're trying to go.
Yeah, so like, so here's the thought. You could productize that in something that maps to your product, just like a PLG software product would do. Here's another way to think about product-led growth. Free samples at your grocery store.
I love me some free samples, Mark.
Yeah. No, everyone pretty much does, yeah. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
This idea of product-led growth can be achieved in so many ways. Go back to my fish guy. He sometimes has free samples of like a new smoked fish spread at his store. What is that? Is product-led growth, George?
Yeah.
In many ways, none of these things are really new or, you know, they're not novel. They're just like, oh, duh, when you say it like that, you know, the traditional sense, sure, product-led growth, you there's a software product and you sign up. It could be anything from a consumer-grade software product or something that's like HubSpot that you use for free and then, you know, you buy it with your credit card. Like, sure, PLG, but like, no, doesn't have to be like that. Like, we have a free 60-minute go-to-market assessment on our website. A couple people a month to fill it out. We'll do a full-on free go-to-market assessment. We're selling you on people first a little bit in that. So like, do they convert? Yeah, sometimes they convert into customers. Like, but that's like our product offering, right? Like, so it's basically just this idea of like, how do you connect what you're giving away with to free, more at the bottom of the funnel, with what you sell, like right, with your product or service.
I love that. And I like that little twist to the brain there. Hopefully the viewers are like, oh yeah, let me kind of reposition my thinking on what something is to what something could be. Which again, you're really good at, because I remember you twisted my brain on what an event could be in one of the interviews that we historically did as well. Which, by the way, I'll put a link in the show notes to that so you can go listen to that episode if you are watching this right now. So, Mark, I think it might be some of the same. Actually, it might be all the same, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this question, because there are the math geeks out there. There are the goal and KPI nerds and police that want to know, like, sweet, okay, people first, maybe is that touchy-feely? No, by the way, it's not. But like, what metrics and KPIs are most relevant for measuring the success of what we're now leaning into, this people first GTM strategy?
That's dependent on which kind of growth strategy we're talking about as it relates to the approach that is people first, right? So we talked about partner-led, content-led, event-led, product-led. We hit on community-led as a channel. Haven't dived too much yet into member-led or customer-led. Doesn't matter though. Like, each of those different seven growth strategies have different associated metrics. And by the way, we have all of this spelled out on our website. So I'm sure you'll drop the note in the show notes. Just, you can check it out. We have free resources, tons of stuff on this. The short answer is probably more at the channel level. So how do you measure community-led growth? Highest level answer is engagement. So people that watch, number of viewers, number of subscribers, number of people who opt into, you know, getting your email newsletter. So, you know, you could say email signups, which is, I guess, it's a form of subscriber, but podcasts, you know, as you know, George, there's different types of subscribers, right? You might subscribe to a podcast through an RSS feed or, you know, a different mechanism versus email, but it's like those types of metrics along with who follows you on LinkedIn or X or Instagram or TikTok, right? You know, the people who have eyeballs. So it's the eyeballs, the engagement, that type of stuff. As you go a little bit deeper, and by the way, member-led growth is a new concept. And a lot of people think like, what is member-led growth? Member-led growth is when you take your audience and say, hey, look, I want to, you know, really double down in building a relationship with you. So I'm going to change up how I either deliver content or I'm going to build an owned community. And when you come to my website, you're going to be able to sign up for this community that, you know, we have ownership over technically. Or you're going to be able to, you know, go into our resource center and with one just simple sign-up experience, become a member and consume all of that great education and content. No more forms. Forms are gone. Like, and there are definitely many, many products that allow you to do this. This is, it's actually built into HubSpot. There's an actual, like, very not well-known tool called membership in HubSpot. This allows then the person to get an immense amount of value very quickly and allows you to, like, build that deeper relationship with them. And then going back to the data, like, some of these tools give you tremendous insights into what the members are doing. So that part, it's all about, like, how do I turn someone that's now like a member of my brand into, when they're ready, a booked meeting, into pipeline, into revenue, right? So it's like, all right, we got them from all these rented spaces. They're now come back to our website multiple times. They've opted into seeing some of our content, to become a member. We're doing email marketing to them. We're following up on the human level. Let's see how we can turn this into a customer. And then from there, once they're a customer, how do we convert that customer, if you will? Convert might not be the best word, but like, I mean, yeah, you got to delight them, of course. You got to make them happy and successful. But how do you, partner is the best word, quite frankly, but how do you partner with your customers to turn them into advocates? And that's all about like product adoption metrics. That's all about usage metrics. It's satisfaction metrics, support metrics. So the customer-led growth is about the intersection of those sets of metrics that then give you a high degree of confidence that these customers are your super advocates. These customers are close to becoming advocates. These customers need help because if you don't help them, you're gonna lose them, and that's not good from a growth standpoint. So yeah, I think if we just focus on those three channels and those the metrics with that, it probably gives people a frame of reference. But then all the other ones, the four other kind of motions, content, events, products, and partnerships, you could have. There are 100% ways to measure those things as well, George.
So good. And I do think it's like those micro pieces and measuring those micro pieces. But then again, what you said, let's kind of go into this next piece where we're talking about scalability or scaling. So as businesses grab onto this, they adopt it, they're using it, they're moving forward, and they start to grow because of it, because punchline, that's what's going to happen. How can the people first GTM model scale according to the effectiveness and the personal touch as you get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? I'll give you an example. It is a different HubSpot today than it was in 2012, right? It's a different Apple today than it was the first year or 2 years in. So if you're doing all these things, like talk us through that part, Mark.
You know, for sure. So the first thing to know is you do not have to do all seven of those different things that are make up the model. Like, you probably shouldn't. Don't try to do all those, especially if you're just starting or if you have a lean team. Focus on your strengths and focus on what resonates with your audience. So maybe your audience, you know, is way more adapt at on the content side and they're not going to go to as many events, or maybe you're selling to developers or a type of developer. So free tools, free products, super important, events, not as much. Like, at some point, though, as your company matures, you probably will use all seven in a small way. A very simple example is, like, a company could use all seven this easily. George, you have a company. We just talked about how you're using for this right now, the idea of a podcast, which is content, the community, because you're going to use this as a way to get this into the community and the channels that make up your community, like growth strategy, as part of this podcast, you know, that we're doing right now. You've partnered with me and many other guests to create this podcast and make it come to life. Partnership there. You might even have a brand partner. Who knows? You are doing online events, right? You have a webinar you do every so often, right?
Yep. Don't
you?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You also go to events, right? So as your brand. Yep. So there you go. You have a free offering for people on the product side. Like, there you go. You have resources. I don't know, though, if you put them all into like an owned community or a kind of more membership resource hub. Have you?
We have community.hubheroes.com.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So there you go. You have customers, and I'm sure your customers help you grow a ton, right? They're word of mouth advocates,
yep.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
So you've done all seven parts of the model.
Yeah, baby. That's why you're on this. That's why you're on this event. I mean, I believe in all of what we're talking about today. We just need to get it out to more people. So yes, yes.
It's that simple. I don't want to trivialize it because it's not simple. You did a lot to build all of that. And so, but if you just focus, say you want to do all seven, just focus on one of the things and you'll start to see how quickly they just start to come into the fold. You know, once you have a couple customers, just make sure you take care of those customers. Your customer-led growth will start to happen. One very tactical way to do customer-led growth is just write good customer stories. What's a good customer story? It's content. How do you activate that content in the rented spaces that you're trying to acquire more customers, aka community-led growth? Bam, there you go. Like, it's, I think a lot of people have misconstrued or made people confused about what these different like growth strategies, these motions are. I'm just trying to simplify it down and show people how they all work together. And it's not that hard.
So good. So good. So good. And I can't wait to put the link for your website. We've added a ton of value. I'm going to fast forward to this question because I want to know where your brain is to the future of this. This might be a selfish question, by the way, since we've already determined that I'm fully into this and trying to bake out all the pieces. But Mark, based on your experience, what future trends do you foresee in this kind of go-to-market strategy, particularly concerning, this people first approach? Like, what does the future look like? What should we be paying attention to?
I always try to pay attention to, you're going to guess it, you know, guess it right probably, which is the people. So like, what's affecting people in how they live their lives and how they buy things? So one thing that's affecting people right now is it's like the lack of trust almost, right? Like, who, you know, do you trust the news? Do you trust you trust typically the people that you have built the strongest bond with, even though they might not be trustworthy. But, you know, it goes back to relationships. And like your partner, if you have a partner, I mean, that's probably the strongest bond of anything, right? Outside maybe your parents. But so I say all that because this intersection of artificial intelligence and human intelligence, pay attention to that. I do think that will... It is making businesses more efficient. It's making people more efficient. How that manifests itself into probably new channels, like a new type of like TikTok or a new type of search, like that will probably come. New products, right? New content formats. Like, here's an interesting content format. There's going to be always movies, but now there's going to be AI first movies. Movies that are created through AI. It's just a different type of movie. It's not going to disrupt the traditional movie. It's just you're going to have more and more content formats and types because of AI. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I'm studying right now. And I read a lot about AI every week through different newsletters I'm subscribed to, YouTube videos, etc. I'll leave it at that. I mean, I know that's maybe not like the best answer because then it's like, well, it's AI. But like, I really think this is a technological leap that's happening here.
Yeah, if people aren't paying attention to, and I would agree, technological leap in AI. Look, if you haven't paid attention to Sora and what's happening with Sora and what you're going to be able to do from a video production standpoint slash event standpoint. Like, listen, the other day I did something that I didn't know I would ever do it in my life before I did it the other day. I searched for AI-generated GIF or GIF maker because I wanted to get that specific to what I could actually create based on what I was creating from a presentation deck for an event that we are doing. So like it is just transforming the way that we'll create content, the way that we'll be able to deliver value to communities, the way that we're going to have assets for relationships and experiences. And believe it or not, it's going to drive emotion and it's going to drive purchasing decisions. All right, Mark, let's boil it down. What do you hope the one major takeaway for the viewers, like if they can take away this one thing, what would you want them to take away?
Spend more time thinking about your business in the context of people, in the context of your customers, your buyers. Use their language. You know, don't invent things on your own. You can invent a few things. Like, look, we invented the term people first go to market, but we invented it by studying people. I remember this from Brian Halligan. You know, I love Brian and Dharmesh. Just amazing people. And Brian said, like, you got to be like a human anthropologist. So focus on that and like, don't try to just create fancy terms, words, things like that. Like, don't create content for the algorithms. Like, please don't do that. Don't create content to get clickbait stuff on like a social media site. Like, no, be genuine and like be thoughtful and just get to know people better.
Get to know the people, aka humans, better. I love that so much. That's like some words of wisdom, if you will. If people want to reach out, Mark, and connect, if they have questions, shoot, after all the value you just added, maybe they want to buy you a steak dinner. Where do you want to send them? Where should they go?
So Club PF, People First, Club People First, right? ClubPF.co.co. We have a free membership tier that comes with it's 135 page book, digital book, 175 insights. You probably haven't even seen this, George, yet, have you?
I haven't. I need to.
Just launched it a week ago before we did this podcast recording. It's called The People First Advantage. The People First Advantage. You know, we also have a premium insider type membership that's a little bit of money per month. You can go deeper into all this and really dive in. I know you were an early member of that. That's where I would go. You could, of course, find me on LinkedIn. But if you want to start to like talk to other people about this and go deep into this stuff, check that out. And then, yeah, we'll leave the leave behind for the, we have like a 65 page presentation deck that walks people through everything, you know, you and I unpacked today, George.